That, I think, is the crux of the success of what the Scotch whisky industry has done.
And do you think that's also the pull for whisky drinkers as well, to get a taste of that world?
I think the industry has sold its product.
Yeah.
It's sold its truthfulness. It's sold its quality very, very well. And it's created, it's not a myth, but it's created a picture around itself.
Welcome back to the Whiskey Legends podcast, where I speak to my granddad Tim Morrison for the last time this series about how the industry has developed over the last 100 years. In this episode, we hear about my granddad's thoughts on the whisky industry today, some of the difficulties for newer distilleries, and other barriers that are present for everyone. We'll also hear about the importance of the visitor centre, some big opportunities that are there, and why whisky and the industry is loved so much by both those that work in it and those that are drawn to it. If you have any feedback or questions you'd like featured in future series, please leave them in the ratings or our YouTube and social channels, which you can find in the description. So now you've taken this brand into the modern day. You know, what do you think about the industry now? Because obviously there are, I think, 140 odd distilleries in Scotland alone. 40 of those were built after the year 2000, which is quite a lot. I think there's still more being built at the moment. What do you see does that seem like it's starting to get overcrowded to you? Is it?
Yes, I do. But I think what worries me more is the fact, it doesn't worry me, but what I think is a problem is that a number of these distilleries that have been built by people who have been enthused by the idea of having a distillery, have little or no industry background. Now, that's not the case for them all, but that is certainly the case, a number of them. Now, sooner or later, those whiskies are going to come onto the market. Now, on the one hand, these people are going to have a bit of money to put behind their brands in terms of investment in people and investment in the brand. And then they're saying to themselves, well, where are we going to sell this? Because somebody's going to have to go out and start looking for distributors.
Yeah.
Have to go abroad and start looking for importers. The demands of these people are, right, what are you going to pay me for 6 inches of my shelf? Mm. That is something that's wasn't prevalent in my day when we were selling. It became a new factor of retail. Retail value, if you like. And I think the other thing is that in my day, you were selling to across the grocery sector. And then you had a much wider spectrum of people you could approach to sell your whisky to. Today, basically, what are you looking at? A retail shop, a specialist retail shop, and then the supermarkets. Well, to get into supermarkets, you're selling your soul, basically, because you're not making much money in them, as we all know. So there are problems. Can you get the sales for your product? That's the beginning and end of the story.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. Yeah. And this is where, from our point of view with Clydeside, we have AD Rattray with its network of distributors,
yeah,
and good distributors,
yeah,
and loyal distributors who have followed the progress of Clydeside. So they are all aware of Clydeside.
And they're already bought in.
They've already, basically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and this is where I think, you know, Andrew's done a great job there, and we've kept them aware of the progress, so everybody's aware of what's been going on.
Do you see, because obviously the whiskey, it's been booming for a while now, and even before lockdown and COVID, it was still very much on the up. Do you see that continuing? Is it going to peter out a bit, and then, or do you think it's like stagnating? Is it going to go down? What would you?
I think there are two things that are facing the industry at the moment. One are the costs of our raw materials,
mm-hmm.
and that is oil and gas, obviously, our malted barley, which has literally doubled in a very short space of time. But our case goods have also increased hugely. Our bottles, our cartons, our paper costs. What also is the demand on bottling halls, and if you're a small player, to have your product fitted into a bottling program, you're having trouble with containers. We're having trouble with shipping. You know, so the industry is at this moment being faced with a horrific amount of problems that
obstacles
which are all, none of which are their own making. And this is a very, very difficult situation for the industry. The other thing that does concern me at the moment is that I think the export market is beginning to soften. And I think we're seeing that and hearing that from our distributors around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's clearly some difficulties now and probably in the future, but a lot of people love whiskey, and that probably isn't going to go away. What other opportunities are there?
Now, I personally have got a lot of experience of being involved in the investment in bottles through the auction houses. And while there's some exorbitant prices being paid these days, I mean, it really is quite ridiculous. Nevertheless, people are able to make money there if they keep their eye on what is happening. But again, it depends very much on your knowledge of the bottles to invest in, and those that are beginning to attract attention. So while on the one hand I am cautious about investing in casks, I am less concerned about those who are prepared to go to auction houses and buy bottles for their own use. Because I think the thinking behind the two are entirely different. And while, you know, people are looking to make money buying a cask, whereas people buying a bottle are interested in perhaps the history of the distillery.
Yeah, putting it in their cabinet.
Yeah. And the great thing about it is, if in fact things go wrong, you can always drink it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not quite, well, some cases it's more of an investment than buying a cask.
Well, of course. You've seen some Macallan prices that have gone through the roof. Now over £1 million. And you know, that is the exception. Maybe it's not going to continue to be the exception. But I think that investing in bottles has a lot of interest to it. It's got some excitement to it as well. And you know, every one of these bottles has a history to it and has a story behind it.
Yeah.
I had a situation where when we opened the visitor centre at Beaumont, we produced a little ceramic bottle with probably 5-year-old Beaumont in it, with a wee cork stopper and a tag label with a very unobtrusive cardboard box around it. And I saw one for auction the other day. And so I said, God, you know, that's great. I think I've lost my copy, the one I had. I'll go and bid for it. It went for 15,000 quid. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Did you win that?
Did I hell? but I would have been prepared to go to 1,500 quid, which was, you know, way, 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 way beyond the price.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the bottle of Ardbeg that went for 16,000 quid just recently. I mean, a guy found it in his laundry room. There's the bottle of, well, I'll give you an example. A bottle of Port Ellen was sold recently by a fellow. The bottle of Port Ellen was bottled during the Queen's visit in 1981.
The same visit?
Yeah, same visit. And it went for 28,000 quid. I mean, so
what someone does that... really likes the Queen.
Yeah, I mean...
And so, whiskey.
And whiskey. I mean, you know, and this is what's happening in the market.
Yeah.
I mean, I was fairly active in that market, and we have a fairly decent collection of whiskies. But I pulled out of that some while ago. I suppose we might go back, but unload some of our stuff.
And, yeah. But the opportunity's there.
The opportunity's there. Yeah. But so what opportunities are there at the moment? I think, you know, there's no doubt that the whisky market is still buoyant. The blended market is buoyant. Johnny Walker is a very good example of the investment that is being made in it as a brand.
Yeah.
You know, they've just built this fabulous Princess Street Visitor Centre.
Yeah, I mean, you can hardly even call that a visitor centre. It's like it's a whole Johnny Walker world or something.
It is. And that's, I've been to it, and it is just incredible.
Yeah.
And, you know, and people are investing in visitor centres.
Yeah. Well, you have an amazing visitor centre at the Clydeside. I mean, we were talking earlier about modern distilleries and what you need to succeed. Mm. Do you think the visitor centre is an integral part of that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the foundation of your brand.
Yeah. And you did it at Beaumont in the early days as well.
Yeah, we were either the first or the second to build a visitor centre. I think maybe Glenfiddich were just ahead of us, but certainly we in 1975 built our visitor centre, which was, as I say, basically something nobody had ever thought of, because people didn't encourage visitors to their distilleries in those days.
Yeah, well, they weren't quite as clean as...
Well, you're right. I mean, they weren't exactly pristine, and but we were fortunate that we had distillery manager at the time and managers who had great care for their product and lavished attention on them. And if you look actually at the pictures of that of Beaumont there, that was taken at the time, and you know, the buildings are painted and the pipes are painted and, you know, it's their tarmac and what have you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's obviously some difficulties, still some opportunities. But I mean, aside from the financial side of it, if you are a whiskey lover or someone that works in the industry, I mean, chatting to you these past few days, it seems like one of the best industries you can work in. And when we went to that distillers meeting down in London, that's what everyone was saying, how grateful they are to be in that industry.
Yeah.
What would you say are the main, the best bits about the whiskey industry?
The Scotch whiskey industry has always been known for its sociability. Everybody gets on.
Mm-hmm.
We compete against each other, but we have a friendship. That we communicate amongst ourselves, and that I think this has got a lot to do with the number of families that have always been involved in the Scotch whisky industry. And these go back generations, and I think when I say the industry is sociable, it is extraordinary that the families, but if you like, within the families, they are not obtrusive. But nevertheless, they don't speak about themselves. Other people speak about them. And I think that's another thing. And as a consequence, the relationship between the distilling companies and the blending houses is their relationship with their distributors, and over decades, that I think is the crux of the success of what the Scotch whisky industry has done.
And do you think that's also the pull for whisky drinkers as well, to
I
get
do.
A taste of that world?
I think the industry has sold its product.
Yeah.
It's sold its truthfulness. It's sold its quality very, very well. And it's created, it's not a myth, but it's created a picture around itself.
Yeah.
And I look at some of the old adverts, and I've collected quite a lot of the old adverts, and you look at them now and you think, Christ, how corny they are, but there's a warmth to them, and there was a truth coming out of these adverts, and there was a certain humour coming out of them as well. And I'll never ever forget that Bell's advert, because it was close to me, and its slap line was, "Afore you go." And I remember at the distillery, somebody once said to me, "Well, son, just remember Bell's, afore you go to bed." And, It's that warmth in the industry that I think has been its success.
Well, I think that is a pretty nice note to end it on. So I think we'll stop our discussions there. But it's been amazing to talk to you throughout this week in more depth. I've learned a lot about whiskey, a lot about you as well. So I hope you've also enjoyed the experience, and also the listeners.
Well, here's hoping. I've found it very thought-provoking, and as we have gone on, I have remembered more and more aspects that might still be relevant. I think from my point of view, it is nice to know that my son Andrew is so involved in our whole business, both AD Rattray and Clydeside, and his involvement means a lot to me personally, and how much he is bringing to the business, and also to say the quality of the team that we both have here at AD Rattray now, and at Clydeside. And, you know, I think this is one of the things I'm proud of, that we have built up those teams. And
I'm sure there'll be a lot more stories to come from them over the
years. Absolutely.
I'm sure there's been a lot of stories that you had to omit for whatever reason that we might learn another time. But it's been great chatting to you.
Good.
So thank you.
Pleasure.
And that is it for this season of Whiskey Legends, where I hope you've enjoyed hearing the stories and insights from my granddad as much as I have. Please leave us a rating, if 5-star, obviously. And as ever, leave any feedback or questions on our YouTube or socials, which you can find in the description.